Okay, so we're on Daf Ayin Beis tonight. So if you remember yesterday, we said that that there wasn't a Ruach Tzvonin. They didn't get a Bris Milah. The Jews didn't do Brisin when the Midbar, because there wasn't a Ruach Tzvonin, like this northerly wind, which Rashi learns, not too hot, not too cold, and it puts the sun to shine through. And then if you look at the second Tosfos on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph 72a, Tosfos says, Perish B'fnei Atzma, it was by itself, there was no Ruach Tzvonin. Well, in the forest of Nashva Klal, don't say it didn't blow at all. The Marbasov Kulaget, Arba Ruchot Menashva Bukhoyom, Ruch Tzvoni Menashevet in Kulan. The Gemara learns that the Ruch Tzvoni blows together with the other four winds, or the other three winds, whatever. Shomalei Kain and Olamit Kayim. So in Achinami. But the Gemara says, now the Gemara said that it didn't blow because they were Nizufim. And so Rashi said yesterday, Nizufim from the Maaseh Egel. But if you look at Tosfos, the third Tosfos, Maraglim, so I mentioned this yesterday, but Tosfos says it was from the Meraglim. Okay, let's look back in the Gemara. We're on line six, Tanarabanan. The Gemara says that even though the Ruach Tzvoni didn't blow during the day, so they weren't able to do Bris Milah, but every day around midnight it blew. So he says, Begomer. In other words, it says at midnight, Makat Bechoro took place, so we don't understand this Brisa. That's the Brisa. So the Gemara says, my Talmud, what's the Lima? So what's the Shaychus that Makat Bechoro took place at midnight? So how does that relate to the Ruach Tzvoni? So Hakamash Malan, Deid Ratzon Milti, having like a very gracious, propitious time is significant. Let's look at Rashi, the fourth white narrow line of Rashi. Eid Ratzon Milti, the Kaman Nechatzor Laila Eid Ratzon Havoi, Maka Bechorot. So Lila was a very, you know, propitious time, a time of tremendous grace for the Jewish people. The Gabi Maka Bechorot, Habayi Nami Yit Ratzon L'Ruach Tzvoni. So Rashi says, presumably, it's not Mefurash, and it was presumably it would be a propitious time for Ruach Tzvoni. Vein Lecha Yom Shruach Tzvoni Nei Minash Shevet Bo B'Chatzi Lila. Rashi says, there's no day that the Ruach Tzvoni doesn't blow at midnight. Zaya Siman L'David, and this was a Siman for David HaMelech, there was a harp that was hanging above his bed. The Nikba Klapates a phone. It was like arranged so it would catch whatever the northerly wind. Even So at midnight, the harp would start playing on its own. And then David Melech would get up. He says, but is it right? Isn't it like Uri Kavodi, Uri Neva Vachinor? The Gemara in Brachot has about David Melech. Why did not Hakar Abim Shana? So the Gemara is saying that even though they were in the Zufin, they're like, you know, like rebuked from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, on the outs from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, either from the Maaseh Egel or the Maaseh Meraglim, notwithstanding that, the Ruach Tzvoni did blow at midnight, but it didn't help them with a bris because the bris has to be by day. Okay, any questions, comments to us, anything they did so far? Okay, moving on. Now, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Devar Torah Mashucho Fel Betruma, and we Devarim Gazru Lav Nechinira Ka'arel." So Rav Huna says, on a Deraisa level, Mashuch is a person who had a Bris Milah, but the skin is pulled forward either intentionally or through illness, so it looks like he didn't have a Bris Milah. So Devar Torah Mashuch Ochel Betruma. So Rav Huna says, on a Deraisa level, the person's Mashuch, and it was he had a Bris, but it looks like he didn't have a Bris. So he says, on a Torah level, he can eat truma, and we debrayim because rule up nation ira ka'aro. But on a Drabanan level, he can't eat the truma because he looks like he's an arel. That's what Rav Huna's did. So the Gemara says, Meitra, the Gemara asks the Kasha from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mashuk Thrishimo. Then a Mashuk, again, is this person with the skin that's moved forward, so he looks like he didn't have bris mila. He needs to get a bris. So the Gemara thinks, the Makshin thinks, that it means on a Deraisa level, he needs to get a bris. That would be a kasha against Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Midrabanan. The Braisa only means on a Drabanan level, he needs to get a bris. So the Gemara says, Ka'ari la, my Ka'ari la, the one who posed the question, we're on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph around 20 lines down. Okay? So, Ka'ari la, my Ka'ari la, the one who asked the question, what was he asking? Hatzara Katani. In other words, it seems, if I just read the Braisa, says the Bar Torah Mashuk, then excuse me, that it says Mashuk Tzarishimo, doesn't say that a Moch is an Arel, which is what we would expect it to read if indeed it was the Raisa level. It says Mashuk Tzarishimo. So the plain implication of the Raisa is that it's the Rabbanan. So what was the Makshin even thinking? So the Gemara says Katai B'Sefer. The Makshin, you know, got mistaken because of the Sefer of the Braisa, which we haven't learned, but we're going to learn right now. We're on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, 72a, page 143, around 20 lines down. Okay, he says Katai B'Sefer. He made a mistake about the Sefer of the Braisa. It says he was misled. The Sefer says Reb Yehuda Omer Lo Yimol Mishas Sakana Hilo. That he, the Mashuch, should not get a bris mila because it's dangerous for him. So Amru lo, v'lo harbe malu b'meik ben koziba, olidu banim banot. He said, how could that be? You know, during the time, ben koziba is bar kochba. So during the time of bar kochba, so it means like apparently either they were forced, or whatever, like so Jews were going around with Mashuch. They wanted, you know, the forced to look like non-Jews or whatever. And then when Bar Kokhba came in, so now they could practice religion freely, and they got a bris. So he says, they had kids. Now, I saw in the Mesipta, they quoted from Tosefta, and it says that they didn't die. So I don't know, somehow like they're afraid. I don't know, maybe they, in other words, like, I don't know, they're going to cut the aver or in some way injure them if they do this surgery again. Just 1 minute and a pause, and I'll come to the questions in four lines, okay? In Amar, the Pesuk says, Himol Yimol Afilu Me'a Pamim. This is Philip Rice is speaking. It says, Himol Yimol, and this is like Chazal in general, when it says and repeats the verb, means even 100 times, like Hofeach Tokiach, even 100 times, you've got to give him a rebuke. It says, Hashav Tashiv, even 100 times, you got to return the like lamp running away, keep returning to him. So Himol Yimol, even if you have to do the bris 100 times. But Omer, and then the Bryce puts another Pasuk, and whenever it says but Omer, the Gemara is going to ask why to say Omer. We're going to ask him as well. But Omer, et briti hefar. It says, this is talking in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem Baruch gives this for bris mila to Avraham Avinu, it says, v'areel basar shalimol basar bar latov, nefretan anefshehim me'ameha, et briti hefar. He's annulled my bris. The rabot and amashuk. That Pasuk, we take it as superfluous, and it's coming to include the mashuk. So the Gemara before it, you know, articulates the argument, says, Maiva Omer, why do we need the two psukim and the braisa? B'chitema ha'ihi mo yimol v'rabot sitz namach v'namila. We must say the first pasuk is not talking about, you know, mashuk. It's himo yimol, sounds like mashuk, 100 times. So maybe this is the first pasuk is not talking about a mashuk. Maybe the first pasuk is talking about you're doing a regular bris, and there are tzitz in mach v'namila. There he left some like, stringy-like appendages there, so you have to cut that off. So Tashma Britiya Father Rabbanan Mashuk. So the Gemara, and I'll summarize in a minute and we'll come to questions. So who savar? So the Machshon thought, Mikhanasim Lashas Kra Duraiti. So the Machshon thought, since the time of the Braisa quotes Psukim, Mustama, it must be a din Duraisa that the Mashuk has to get a brit. Belohi, it's not true, means Rabbanan across Machabam. Just the Rabbanan and the Pasuk is just a support. Okay, we're on Ayin Beis Ben Aleph. I'm going over. Let me just repeat what we just did for people who came in late, and then we'll go on. Okay, now, so we were talking about the Mashuk. Mashuk is a person who had a bris, but then either intentionally or unintentionally, like the skin got pulled forward, so it looks like he didn't have a bris anymore. And we said, like, during the Hellenists, the Romans, so some Jews were doing this, so they wouldn't look like they had a bris mila. And then other people may have had an illness in that way. But that's a mashuk. So Rav Huna says, now we learned that an arel is not allowed to eat truma. That we learned. An arel is not allowed to eat truma. So Rav Huna said, let's say he's a mashuk. So Rav Huna says, on a deraisa level, he could eat truma since he had a bris mila. But midrabanan, he can't. He has to get a bris mila. That's what Rav Huna said. So then Rav Huna's an amora. So we ask a question from the braisa. And the braisa says, mashuk sabrichimo. Mashuk needs to get a bris mila. So the Gemara says, what type of kash is that? It means on a Drabban level, he has to get it. And the Gemara says, what was the Machshon even thinking? So since the Braisa quotes Psukim, so the Machshon thought it was Din Draisa. No, it's a Din Drabban. Okay, now we got questions, comments, and thoughts. Everybody, what do you got? Everybody good? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Well, on this Sukkim. Okay. Okay, I'm moving forward. Okay, you're too late. Okay, that's it. Now moving forward. Now, All right, now we're back in the Gemara. So we're up to Meifei. Everybody have Meifei?
I was saying that if they were to do it, it would be Kuchofa.
Say again, repeat.
Kuchofa.
Who would it be? Who?
People who had Kuchofa right now, if you could try to.
Right, that would be one concern that they cut the Aver, or I don't know, they put in the Sifta that they said, Sifta says they were afraid of like dying from this whole thing. But anyway, so Meifei. Now we're going to ask Kasha. What?
It's a very bloody procedure at that older age.
All right, now. So now, what that it happens? Like an Orla, a Bris Mila. Yeah, so the arts quoted the Ritva. The Ritva said either they did it, they were forced by the Romans, or they said like through disease, they said that they looked like that. All right, let's see further with the world. Now, all right. Well, the response is disease, but you're saying elderly, but anyway, but
there
was,
is a disease.
There were people
it's right. That seems like throughout Shas that there were people who would do that because they didn't want to appear like they had a pristine. Yeah, and it's also like under the Hellenists, like with the time of the Cheshbon Eim and things like that. So let's take a look back at the world. Now, the Meifei. So we ask Kasha against Rav Huna from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, again, we're interested in Mashuch. So the Braisa is going to mention a lot of things. Let's focus on Mashuch. So Meifei, Tumtum Eino Chel B'Truma. Tumtum is somebody else. He's the one whose genitals are covered over by a layer of skin. So he can't eat B'Truma because we're concerned that he might be male and he doesn't have a Bris Mila. So he can't eat B'Truma. Nashav Abadav Oakland, but his wives and his servants could eat. The Gemara is going to ask, if he's a tumtum, how does he have a wife? We'll come to it. Now here's Mashuch. That's where the lights go up. Now up to Mashuch. Mashuch, but a lot of Shumahul, the person's Mashuch, which we explained about five times already, and a lot of Shumahul, or a person's born, like, he doesn't have an Orla. Haray Elu Oakland. The Bryce says, Mefurash, the Mashuch can eat Shumah, right? That's not looking so good. Lachora for Rav Huna. Because androgynous is when he's got both simanim, ochel betruma, you can eat truma provided he has a bris mila, bein ochel betkachim. He can eat betkachim, he's thinking about kachay kadashim, can only eat by the zichrei kuno, by the male kohenim. So this androgynous, we don't know, it doesn't look like he's a male. It could be male, it could be female, it could be a different period. Then the Bryce says again, the Gorn's going to ask why it repeats twice. Tumtum eino ochel lo betrumah v'lo betkachim. The tumtum kini trumah kini kachim. Okay, that's the braisa. So the Gemara says katani miyat mashuch benola shumahu alril oakland. So the braisa says at the end of the day, the braisa says that if a person is the mashuch, he looks like he didn't. He had a bris, but it looks like he doesn't have a bris. In olak shumahu, a person is born without an orla, alril oakland. They can eat trumah. That's what the braisa says. And Rav Huna said on his rabbanon lo kini. So the Gemara says. So Rav Huna is all up to shlok. That's a simple shot in the Gemara. Now, Rashi brings down a different lashon. He says, let's look at Rashi. You see the Rashi, it's around 10 lines above where it gets wide in Rashi. Tani miyat mashuk ochel. Okay, everybody have it? So he says, Alma lo gazrele. So tiyufta Rav Huna, the Amar v'dibrem gazrele, tiyufta. Okay, so the first hesber is the way I said. Rav Huna says that this is Xavier Durban and they have to get a bris mila. This price sounds like nah, and so that's the kasha. So Lishna Karina Garcina, but Rashi says it's a different lashon, different version of this Gemara. Let's see what the base is. He says, Tanya de Messiah, the Rav Huna is what the Bach has it. Or Lema Messiah, the Rav Huna. We learn a price that supports Rav Huna as follows. Tum Tomato Kelbakule, by Oakland, the Mashuk, Benola Mahu, be the right to Kamar. So here, in Rashi's version, second version is the Gemara is teaching a Braisa, not a Kasha against Rav Huna, not Meifei the way we had it, but Tanya, the Messiah-related, Braisa supports Rav Huna, meaning that the thrust of the Braisa is that the Mashuch and the Nolat Shumahul on a Torah level can eat Truma. The Siyaz Rav Huna, the Zushamati, I heard this from my Rebbeim, Minaredi Kar, and I think that's the main shot Rashi says. Mean to Tamil and come on, because the Gemara is going to say in a few lines, Lame Kitanayim Akulai. The Gemara is going to say, should we say this is subject to a Matlo Kitanayim, where the Mashuch is prohibited on a deraisa level from eating truma or a drabanan level from eating truma. My law, the hakimifli, the marsar deraisa, the marsar drabanan, alma lekalaman demashir legami. Nobody says lakora from the Gemara later on that he could eat, and if we interpret it the first way, then somebody holds that he could eat it. So that's the pshat that Rashi likes. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Go ahead. So that's talui with the Gemara. An 8-day-old child, I don't think, is eating truma. But it's the Gemara we did yesterday, whether you're allowed to anoint the infant with the shemen from truma.
If you can't get formula, eat truma.
Okay, wait a second. Wait.
It's 3 years old, 4 years old.
Yeah. If he has a bris, he eats truma. All right. Now, let's go further. It means his father's a Kohen, obviously. Well, that was the question in the Gemara. But Lechora, it sounded like the way the Rabbi Tom learned it, that he could be anointed before the 8th day. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara.
He's born, Mahmoud says, is Machloke the Rabbi Akiva, whether in the Adam or in the Tzino.
So that was the Gemara we had the other day, was Katan Shalom Rahul, well, you need Hatafas Dam or not. So according to one opinion, not. According to the opinion, yes. We I think, hold, we do need Hatafas Dam. Okay, now we think. That's the way we do it, Hatafas Dam. Okay, now let's go further than Gemara. Now, so we're up to Amar Mar, 10 lines above where it gets wide, on Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, okay? So Amar Mar means like it's a quotation from the Brice that we did above. Now we're moving to a slightly different topic. We were talking about Mashuch, and then we brought in this Brice, and the Brice had brought up Tumtum. So now we're shifting over to Tumtum, which is a different category. Okay, so Amar Mar, Tumtum, Eino Ochel B'Truma. So in the Brice, we says the Tumtum can't eat Truma because he might be male and he doesn't have a bris milah, so he can't eat the Truma. He says, Nashav Avadav Ochel, but his wives and his servants could eat, and we learned in the Mishnah that a person's an Abrael, he's a Kohen, his wife and his servants can eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Nashav L'Tumtum B'Nalei. How can a tumtum ever have a wife? We don't know if he's male, female. How does he ever have a wife? So Elaim at the Kaddish, so maybe you'll say, he, the tumtum, just gave a woman, you know, Harayat Mekudesh, or a ring, whatever. Tanya, tumtum Shikudeshat Kudushin. So the Brisa teaches me, if a tumtum was Mekadesh a woman, it is effective. If Kaddish, if he was the one on the receiving end of the Kudushin, Kudushat Kudushin. So that means Amur the Amar the Chumah. That just means the Chumah. We're Choshesh that maybe they are married, and the male they need a get to dissolve that union because we don't know if the Tumtum is a male or a female or Birib of Neasa. We don't know what it is. So, or I shouldn't say not Birib of Neasa, it's androgynous. We don't know if he's male or female. So that's the Chumah. Lakula miyamrina. But Lakula, Lakula would mean to give him the right to eat Truma, you know, that we would never say. He says, in other words, or the rights for his wife and, you know, to eat truma, we wouldn't say. The kulami aminam. Safek ishahu, he's questionable whether he's a woman or not. Meaning shama kadesh isha. So let's say we have a tumtum, we'll give him a name. Reuben is a tumtum, and now he's Makadesh Rachel. So we don't know if it's a man, it sounds so like contemporary. We don't know if it's a man that's Makadesh Rachel or a woman's Makadesh Rachel. So if it's a man, then Rachel gets to eat truma. If it's a woman, there's nothing. So how can the Tana say that his wives can eat truma? We're trying to understand the brisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Shabbat Sabni Karot Yibachutz. So Abaye says, we're talking about a tumtum. In a chinami, there's like a flap of skin over his genitals, but we could see he's got beitzim. He's got the male genitals. So we know he's a male tumtum, and that's the case he's talking about. So he's just like an arel. It's the same as an arel. That's Abaye's Hezber in the Mishnah. So he's Mekadesh Nisha, she's Mekudeshet. He's a male, she's a female, she can eat truma. He says, Rava Amar, my Nashav. Rava says a different shot. No, it's not the Beit Simar Nikar. He says, what does it mean, his wives? It doesn't mean wives. He says, Emo means his mother. In other words, that's what the Tana is referring to. It means his mother, meaning his father was a Kohen. The father's not alive anymore. But if the mother has children, the mother can eat truma. So it means, he says, Emo. So he's saying that even though he can't eat it because we don't know, because he might be male, he never had a bris milah, he can't eat the truma, but he's mezak the mother certainly to eat truma. The Gemara says, wait 3 minutes to come to, okay? The Gemara says, Emo, Shitim. That's obvious the mother can eat truma. In other words, What difference whether it's a male, female, whatever? As long as the mother's got some kids, the mother can eat truma. So ma'u d'tema molid ma'afil, chain molid eno ma'afil. I might have thought it says v'lid, like you need, what's the pasuk? It says v'lid beito. So I might have thought that the offspring has to be the type of offspring that can, you know, procreate, have children. So I might have thought molid is ma'afil, shein molid eno ma'afil. It's not molid, it's not ma'afil. Tamashmolan is that way. Okay, this is summarizing, and we're going to take some questions, okay? So again, so we're shifting over to Tumtum, and we said the Tumtum, that he's Mekadesh, a woman, so the woman can eat the Truma. In other words, his father was a Kohen. So the Gemara says, how could that be? I don't know if there's a male or female Tumtum. So Abai says, we know it's a male. With Beis Avni Karim Bebachutz. We can see the Beitzim through the membranes, he's male. Or Rabbi says, no, we can't see the Beitzim. But it just means, Nashav doesn't mean his wife, it means his mother can eat Truma. Okay, what's up? What do you have?
I'm sorry, it's obvious, but so Kohen is a daughter.
Yeah, right, right, 100% correct. Right, 100% correct. Any other questions?
I have a question.
One second, we're coming to you 1 minute. I'm listening to Daniel. Go ahead.
I
understand.
It's mom and other females.
So I would say within the men, in other words, like Tumtum, like the class of Tumtum, like Nashav. Okay.
And one other question.
No.
Tumtum could also be androgynous. Do you know what's under there?
No. Androgynous.
It's covered up. You
well, we assume he's not androgynous. We assume he's male or female. That's the assumption by true. Okay, what do you got for me, Ruth?
It doesn't matter if he's a tumtum, if it's indecisive whether he's male or female. If she is the boss of a Kohen, so it's okay.
No. You're finishing the case here again, Ruth. Listen, the mother is not a Kohen. The mother's got nothing to do with Kohen. The only thing the mother did was marry a Kohen. The husband died, so it's the mother and the child that are there. So the Gemara is teaching. I can't see you in the screen very well. Could you center your camera? Okay, thank you. So the Gemara is saying, according to Rava, the Bryce is teaching me that even though the offspring is a tumtum, he causes his mother, who's a Bas Yisrael, to be able to eat Truma. Okay?
Okay. Well, so I have a question.
Ahead, Martha.
Just to clarify, a woman who was married to a Kohen.
Let me see your face. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, it's not. My camera's not working.
Okay,
but
okay.
A woman who was married to a Kohen, has no children, he dies, she can no longer eat a Truma?
You got it. Okay, now I got to go forward. Okay, please, I need to go forward. I don't have time. I'm so sorry. Now, the last narrow line on Ayin Beis Ben Aleph. Now, the Gemara says, Tashma. Now, the Gemara is going to another line. Tumtum enu ochel lo betruma v'lo betachem. The Brisa repeated itself. The first line of the Brisa said, Tumtum eno ochel betruma. That was the first line of the Brisa. The last line of the Brisa said, is Tumtum eno ochel lo betruma v'lo betachem. Tumtum can't eat truma or kachem. So why is the Tana repeating? It says, Tumtum can't eat truma. Then the last line says, Tumtum can't eat truma or kachem. So he says, so Tashma, Tumtum eno ochel lo betruma v'lo betachem. So b'shleimel Abaye, so according to Abaye, the first line, even though we said Tumtum, we knew he was a male. So Tana Reisha Arel Badai. So the Tana first teaches me, well, he's definitely an Arel, a person who didn't have a bris mila, which is what the Tumtum, he's male, he didn't have a bris mila. So he can't eat Truma. But Tani Seifa, Safek Arel. And then the end of the Bryce says, somebody didn't mute themselves, I'm going to help you. So the Seifa is teaching me a Safek Arel. And it was a real Tumtum, I don't know, male, female. They can't eat because of Safek. El Rava. Rava learned Tumtum is Tumtum and was just talking about the din was only related to the mother. Well, Rava, Tumtum to say for Lamali. According to Rava, why does the Tana have to repeat twice that a Tumtum can't eat Truma? So my Tumtum, so Rava will explain the Brisa. What does it mean Tumtum in the end of the Brisa? Arel. It doesn't mean a garden variety Tumtum. It means a person who never first knew him. So the Gemara says, Hashtasapik Arel Oafil. What does that make sense? In other words, according to Rabbah, the beginning of the Brisa teaches me a garden variety Tumtum can't eat Truma. Why can't he eat Truma? Because he might be a male. He doesn't have a bris mila, so he's a Safek Arel. And then he teaches me at the end of the Brisa that a Vadai Arel can eat Truma? Certainly not. So the Gemara explains, no. The way Rabbah learned the Brisa is Ma Tam Tamar. The flow of the Brisa is why. It means Ma Tam Tumtum Eino Ochel Betruma. Why can't the Tumtum eat Truma in the first line? They should Safek Arel who? Because he's a Safek Arel, but Arel ain't okay. A little bit of a little kachim, and then the Tana fills in And Arel can't eat truma, can't eat kachet. All right? Now, let me go further a little bit, and I'll pause. So the Gemara says, Lema Kitanai. So this is the line in the Gemara that we quoted in Rashi earlier. So again, this is going back to Rav Huna's din. Rav Huna taught me that a mashuch on a deraisa level doesn't eat a bris mila, but on a drabanan level, he needs to get a bris before he eats truma. That was Rav Huna's din. So the Gemara says, Lema Kitanai. Should I say that Rav Huna's din is really subject to machloket tonight? Meaning, one tana is going to hold, he needs to get a bris on a deraisa level, and one tana is going to hold only on a drabanan level. He says, the Bryce says as follows, Mashuk, and then in parentheses, Benolak Shumahul, Marshall picks up those words, so I'm going to leave it. He says, Beger Shinat Gayer Shumahul, or Ger that converted, but he's already, you know, Gemal. He says, Bekatan Shabar's Mano, or Katan, just 1 minute, hold all questions, I'll come to you in 10 lines. Okay, Bekatan Shabar's Mano, a Katan who's past the eighth day, Ushaar Kol Nimulim, and all the other Nimulim. So the Gemara says, Latrim Yishayish Loshtei Orlo, to include somebody has two orlas. Either he's got two skins or he's got two Eivarim. Ein Animolim Elabayom. Tana says, all those people have to get a bris during the daytime. He says, Reblaz, in other words, even though there's something irregular about each one of them, but they need to get a bris during the day. Reblaz or Barshimon Omer, Bismano, turn page, Ein Animolim Bayom. If it's a bris Bisman, then it's during the day. Shalobizman on Imolim by Yom Balayim. Brish Shalobizman, according to Lazar Rav Shimon, could be by day or by night. So, cutting this to the simplest element, so the Tanakhama is saying that all those people that were listed earlier have to be by Yom. And Lazar Rav Shimon says they could be by day or by night. So, my Labaha, typically, focusing on the one issue that is of interest to us, which is the Mashuch. So, the Tanakhama holds the Mashuch has to get a bris during the day, and Lazar Shimon holds Mashuk can get a bris by day or by night. My law b'hakmifli is that not the point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Reb Lazar Shimon is as follows. The Marsavar Mashuk deraita, the Tanakhama holds that Mashuk on a Torah level requires a bris. Since on a Torah level he requires a bris, it has to be during the day like any other bris. Umarsavar Mashuk derabanan, whereas the second Reb Lazar Shimon holds that it's only on a derabanan level, and Mamela, we could say that he could even have it at night. So the Gemara says, but Tispera, does that make sense? Katan, so Lechorim, in other words, if we follow this logic to its lot to the its conclusion, it means Tanakhama would hold that all the cases that he mentioned are Chayv on a bris on a Doraisa level. But Tispera, Katan Shavar Zmano, Mi'ikalaman Damar Durabanan. So the Tanakhama holds all deraisa, and then Rav Shimon holds derabanan. One of the first cases, Katan Shavar Zmano. Is Katan, he didn't get a bris on the eighth day. Let's say it's a month later. So is there anyone that, and yet Rav Shimon holds that he can have a bris by day or by night. Is there anyone that holds that would be a derabanan? Elo, the Kuliyam Mashuk derabanan. So the Gemara says, no, rather, indeed, everybody in the Braisa holds, like Rav Huna had articulated earlier in the Gemara, that a mashuk needs to get a bris on a drabanan level. The katan shavar zmano doraita, and the katan shavar zmano vada is doraita. B'hacha b'hach kemitzvah. The point of dispute between Reb Laza of the Tanakhama, Laz Reb Shimon, is mar savar dashinan ubayom. It says ubayom hashmini mol basar olato ubayom during the day. So doesn't say bayom uvayom. So that extra vav, the Tanakhama learns the extra vav is teaching me that that even a katan, you know, bars mano, and all the other cases, they have to be bayom. Umar savar lo dashinan ubayom. And the Lazar Shimon says, we don't darshan that ubayom. Okay, one second. Let's look at the top line, Rashi, and then we'll pause for a second, okay? Mar savar dashinu bayom. Vav yitera, demach demichta bayom ashmin imol. Uchtiv, and Rashi, the second line. Uvayom, latuye mila shlobizmana. In other words, so Bayom HaShmini on the eighth day has to be during the day. The Tanakhama says, Ubayom, even if it's not on the eighth day, it has to be during the day. He says, even though the Mashuk is only a Drabanan level. In other words, so the one case, Katan, that was Bizmano, that's a Din Doraisa. And the Mashuk is Drabanan, he says, Ubatar Hafi Tikon, that was established by the Chachamim afterwards, even the Katan Shabraz Mano Mitrabi, since the pasuk is teaching me that a katan who's getting a bris not on the eighth day has to be during the day, so the mashuch, and it was called the tikkun rabbanan kein doraita tikkun. Whatever the rabbis establish, they follow the model that's in the Torah. So if I see in the Torah that a bris that's even not bisman on a deraisa level, like a child who's getting a bris on his 30th day, has to be by day, so the mashuch, which is only on rabbanan level, is getting a bris, so the Tana holds he also has to be during the day because that's the Torah model. Whereas Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon learned, doesn't learn Uvayom. So according to Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, only Mila Bizmana gets during the day. Anybody else can be by day or by night. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? You had something, Daniel? Gamal means he had a bris mila. Okay, yeah. Any other questions? Okay, everybody good? Everybody good in the cyber world? Okay, let's move on. Now, let's see back. All right, now we're on the 10th line on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Okay. So we mentioned a machloket between the Tana Kama and Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. Do we say that the extra vav teaches me even Mila Shlo Bizmano has to be during the day? So the Gemara is going to say, like, we're going to see a similar line of argument. He had the Yativ Reb Yochanan the Kedarish. Reb Yochanan, you have to be patient with this proof. Reb Yochanan was sitting and he was darshaning. No tar Bizmano in the Nisraf El Bayom. If it's notar bizmano, so notar is if I leave the meat of a korban pit at the right time. For example, a korban shlamim, you eat 2 days and one night. So if we bring the korban shlamim on Monday, so, and again, the most of the korban shlamim is eaten by the balim, but in Yerushalayim, and then part by the kohen. Okay, so the kohen gets the chazei b'shok. So he says, so he has Monday to eat it, Monday night to eat it, and Tuesday to eat it. Now, any meat that's left over on Tuesday is no tar, on Tuesday nightfall. And then the Torah says, Bayom HaShlishi Yisareit. You burn it on the third day, which would be Wednesday. So Rabbi Yochanan Darshan, no tar bizmano in Estrap El Bayom. So the no tar bizmano, I should wait for the day. Initially, I have to wait for the day, Wednesday in my example, or that example. That was I think they had the Sadashin, that's the art school. But once I'm past the time when ideally should burn the notar, then it could be by day or by night. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So the Eifei, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat posed the following question to Rabbi Yochanan from the following brisa. I only know that a child who's getting a bris on the eighth day has to get a bris during the daytime. How do I know if a child's getting a bris on day 9, 10, 11, or 12 should also be during the day? So this is not taken from the Belt Ride. It's based on a Mishnah. So let's take a look in the Rashi. It's based on a Mishnah in Sefer Shabbat. The 10th narrow line in Rashi. Letisha la sara la chasra la shneim asar. Could the Katani Peperik Reb Lezer in Sefer Shabbat? There's a Mishnah there. It says, no lad bein ashmasho imo letisha. Let's say the child is born Thursday afternoon, Ben Ashmasho. Ben Ashmasho means between sunset and Seitzek Kokavim. So he's born Thursday, late Thursday afternoon. So the bris might be on, if he was born on Thursday, the bris is on Thursday. He's born on Friday, the bris is on Friday. So I'm not sure. So I'm going to go with Friday, even though that's started the ninth day. So he's going to be born, get a bris on the ninth day. Then Rashi says, Ben Ashmasho till Erev Shabbat. Let's say he's born Friday afternoon, Ben Ashmasho. So day 8 would be Friday, day 9 would be Shabbos, but I'm not going to do a Shabbos bris unless I'm sure he's a Shabbos bris. I'm not sure. So I'm going to wait till day 10, Sunday. So he gets bris on Sunday. Nimo la Sara. So Yom Tov Afar Shabbat, let's say like with Shavuos is coming up. So the first day of Shavuos is Sunday. So let's say the Yontiv is on a Sunday and he's born Friday afternoon. So he's not going to get a bris even on Yantiv because it involves a malacha. I'm not going to do the malacha on Yantiv. So Nimo lakadasar. So he'll get the bris after Yantiv. In Eretz Yisrael, you get the bris on Monday, which will be the 11th day. Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Let's say you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. You know, so on the Luach, Rosh Hashanah can't come out on a Sunday and Monday, but, you know, Bizman Chazal could have. So he says, Nimo l'shnei masar. Anyway, the point being, sometimes you have a child that's born on the 12th day. So back in the Gemara. So he asked, so again, so Rabbi Yochanan said that if I'm burning the notar and it's not the right zman, then I can burn it by day or by night. So he asked him, this is Rav Lassen Pedat, asked him from the following brisa. He says, back in the Gemara, one line below the Allah, Ein li ela nimol shmini, shein nimol el bayom, minayin l'rabot l'tisha l'asar l'chas l'shem asar. How do we know that even if the bris on day 9, 10, 11, or 12, it has to be during the day, tam lomar uvayom. So here it says uvayom. Now by notar, it says something similar. It says viha notar. So the vav is extra. So here I, so his question is, you said that notar after the, you know, the first day, Wednesday, my example, I could burn it by day or by night afterwards. But we see by Bris Mila, it says uvayom, it always has to be during the day, even if it's the right spot. So here's this viha notar. But if you lament the darish vav, and even according to the Tana who doesn't darish in the vav, that's i.e. Rav Lazar Rav Shimon above. Like Rav Lazar Rav Shimon said, it was Mila Shlo Bizmano, it doesn't have to be by during the day. We learned that above in the Brisa. It says vav hey darish, but even he would darish in viha notar. It's not just a vav, it's a vav and a hey. So it's a kasha against you, Rabbi Yochanan. You said that the notar can be burnt day or by night, but it says vaha notar. So the verse is ishtik. So Rabbi Yochanan was silent. So Bakr Danafik, after Lazar and Pedat left, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, or Ethan ben Pedat, shaped the Rish Kamoshim to Yagurav. Now Lazar ben Pedat was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I see, he's darshing psukim like Moshe Rabbeinu from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Reish Lakish said, Amalei Reish Lakish, is that his own learning? Maniti, that's a brisa he was quoting. So Heichatanalei, so Rabbi says, where is that brisa taught? This is the Torah Konim. So Reish Lakish says, the Torah Konim, which is the Medrash on Bayikra. So Nafak Tanya B'tlach Niyomes, the Yochan went out, he learned through the whole Sifra in 3 days, the Sabra B'tlach Yarche, and then he like fully comprehended it after 3 months. In other words, they would go over, sort of memorize it first, and then they would reason things out. So he got to leave it. Okay, let's just think through what we just learned. Okay, and then we will take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the basic idea we learned is that according to the Tanakhama, like since the Uvayom Hashmini, so Amila, even Shlobizmano has to be during the day. And even the Bris, which is only on a Drabanan level, it has to be during the day as well. That's the Mashuch, because even though it's Rabbanan, but called Tikkun, Rabbanan came to write the Tikkun. They modeled it on the Torah level, and Rav Lazar Rav Shimon didn't agree with that, because he doesn't darshan the Vav. So then the Gemara had a whole kasha against Rav Yochanan about Notar, and the Gemara says, by Notar, even the one who did darshan the Vav, Rav Shimon, viha Notar, that he would darshan, and that was a kasha against Rav Yochanan. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? You have any questions? Questions, questions, questions. All right, that's like, one is Lava Nitakla essay, is basically what you're saying. But in terms of the mitzvah itself, in other words, it's a lab. Don't leave it over. But if you do leave it over, that's an essay. So comparing one essay with another essay, and it says, you know, Uvayom, it says Behanotar. Okay. Anything in the cyber world? Everybody good? Okay. I love happy customers. Okay. Let's keep moving. Now, all right. So we're moving to a slightly different topic now. Okay. So we're around 20 lines down, and I'm Bez Amid Bez. We're near the small Bez. Amr Blazar, Arel Shehiza Hazatok Shera. So this is Reb Lazar. That's the same Reb Lazar ben Pedat that we had about. By the way, there's a Rashi I should learn with you. Let's look at the Rashi. Ra'iti the ben Pedat. Everybody have the Rashi. It's midway down the narrow columns. Reb Yochanan says, I see ben Pedat. Ra'iti ben Pedat. Shashim Doresh and Mekor Lalat. Moshim Tia Gvura. He says, B'lashon Tanaim. Reb Lazar ben Pedat lav Tanaya. In other words, he's learning like the Tanaim are learning. But Rashi says, B'lashon ben Pedat was not a Tana. Bab Oraya. So Rashi tells you, whenever it says Reb Lazar Stam, that's Reb Lazar ben Pedat. Reb Lazar Stam at the Mishnah, Ubraita, who Reb Lazar ben Shemuel. Mentioned as Reb Lazar in a Mishnah or a Braisa, that's Reb Lazar ben Shemuel. So it's a nice cloud to remember. I think there's another Rashi I think in Shabbos Daf Yutet Amud Beis, I believe like this, but it's nice to remember some of these Rashis. They don't come up all the time, and then you you know how to start from the Gemara. All right, let's see back on the
So halacha lemaisa is we always do it during the day.
Correct. Okay, let's move on. Now, the Amar Reb Lazar, Arel Shiza Hazatok Shera. Reb Lazar says that in Arel, now we're talking about sprinkling the water, mixed the spring water mixed with the afer, the ashes of the paraduma. So when Arel was Mazeh Hazatok Shera. So he, even though, in other words, we'll see in a minute, the Arel in some ways can seem like a tamei person, but he learns that it's a kasher hazah. Meaning to have a tful yom, just like a tful yom. Tful yom is the person getting us awake. So just like the person who was tamei, and then he went to a mikvah, but he's waiting for nightfall, so he can do the hazah. So too the arel can. Sha'afa pisha asur b'truma. Even though tful yom can't touch truma or eat truma, he says kasher b'para. He's kasher to sprinkle the water. So he's making sort of like a sushtel with the tful yom. So the Gemara says, "Man tful yom can mutar b'maser, but tful yom is allowed to eat maser sheni, whereas the arel can't eat maser sheni." And right, that's the Gemara you're going to have later on Friday's daf. Right, we had the zereshava mimenu. So he says here, was the Gemara learns, it says mimenu by maser sheni, l'chalti menu, and it says by the korban pesach mimenu. So the Gemara learns, just like the Arel can't eat the Korban Pesach, he can't eat Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, that's not such a great sushtel. You're saying Arel is like the Tevil Yom, but Tevil Yom, he can eat Maaser Sheni. The Arel can't eat Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, Atu Anan L'Achidu Kamin, are we talking about eating? This is Anan L'Nagiyah Kamin. We're talking about touching things. Uma Tevil Yom, Shastra B'Nagiyah, the Truma, just like Tevil Yom, he's not allowed to touch Truma, the Tevil Yom. Mutar B'Para, but nevertheless, he's allowed to be involved with the processes of the paraduma to sprinkle the water. Arel shemutar b'negia, the arel who's allowed to touch truma, ain't odin shemutar b'para. Certainly, he's allowed to touch sprinkle the water. So tani nami hachi, you learn a brisa. That was logic, but now that was Reb Lazar ben Kedar. But we have a brisa that supports him. Tani nami hachi, arel shehiza. The Bryce says, well, Furash, if the Arel sprinkled the water that was mixed with the Afer Para, it's a Kasher Hazah. There was an incident where it took place, and it's coming more Machshir. Okay. So, any questions, comments, to what we did so far? All right, I'm going on. Now, Meifei. On this, we ask Kasha from the following Bryce. So again, Reb Lazar taught the Arel could sprinkle the water. So the Bryce says, Tumtum Shikidesh. Kiddushot pasul. If a tumtum means he mixed the ashes with the water with the ashes, it's pasul. Nishuhu safek arel. Barel pasul kadesh. So Reb Lazar said the arel could sprinkle. This doesn't sound like he can. But androgynous shikidesh, but the androgynous, he's mekadesh, kiddushot kasher. So he means an androgynous. But he had a bris. In other words, he's got elements of male and female, but the male part had a bris. So I know he has a bris. So he might be a woman, but he definitely has a bris. It's not an arel. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af androgynous kidesh kidushah psulin. Rabbi Huda says, even the androgynous is out the door. Nishna safek isha, kidushah psulin the kaddish. So Tanakama holds a woman could do it, but not an arel. And Rabbi Huda holds a woman can't do it. But Katani Nia, but we learned, arel, the safek arel, psulin the kaddish. Learned in the Brisa that an Arel and a Safek Arel are pasul to be Makadish, to mix the ashes with the spring water. And Reb Lazar said the Arel has a green light to sprinkle the water. So Amar of Yosef says, Haitana to be Rabbi Akiva. This is the Tana of the Brisa that pasuls the Arel with the Mechatat. That's Tana to be Rabbi Akiva. Tana from the base of Rabbi Akiva, the Marbi Lila Arel Kitame. He learns that the Arel is like Ketame. In other words, Rav Yosef wants to say it's a Machlo Ketanayim. But the Tana, so he says, Hai Tana Tana to be Rav Yekibu. The Marbil of the Arel Ketame. He includes the Arel like Ketame, Ketanayim. We had this earlier. Rav Yekibu Meir, Ish Ish, the Rav Harel. Remember, the Rav Yekibu says, Ish Ish, Mi Zera Aharon, Rutsaru Ozav, Akadashim Lo Yochal. Ish, ish. Remember, we learned that why can't the Aral eat truma? So Reb Lezer learned it was from Xer Shava, Tosh Shava Safir, and the and Rabbi Kiva learned that it was from Rabbi Kiva learned that it was from Ish. So he's making sushtel between Tuma, Saru and Zab, and Sorin and Zab or Tame, and the Aral. He says, so the same Rabbi Akiva who learns that the Aral is not allowed to eat Truma from the sushtel with Saru and Zav, he Lahore is learning that the Aral has some element of Tuma connected with it. So Amarava, so that's what Rabbi Yosef, that's his Hesber. So Amarava, Rabbi Yosef coming to Rabbi Yosef. So I was sitting for Rabbi Yosef, and he says, Vikashali, I had difficulty with this Hesber. Why doesn't the Tana ever equate the Arael with the Tameh? In other words, if Rabbi Kiva holds this way, there should be a Mishnah somewhere where he says the Arael and the Tameh, you know, all together in one breath, the Lema, and then we'll say Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva. So the fact that the Tana doesn't say that makes me think that that's not a correct Hesber. It says below, doesn't he teach that somewhere about the Tana? But they're in the Mishnah of Sefer Higa. Arael about Tamei Patur min Ria, but the Arael and the Tamei are Patur from Ria, appearing in the base of Mikdash and bringing like, the oldest Ria. He says, so doesn't he have it over there? Hata Mishum Demais. No, over there the Arael is Patur because he's mice. He's like repugnant, but in Akinami it doesn't go that way. So means that Rava will learn that the fact that the Tana of the Mishnah says that the Arael cannot be involved with the Kiddush, it's a Chumra by the Paraduma. In other words, that's what the Tana is holding, that there are different chumras we do with the Paraduma, and one chumra is we don't have an Arael involved. That's what he's saying. Now, we brought up this machloket in the Brisa that we quoted before, that according to the Tanakama, the Arael was Pasul, and the androgynous but a woman was kasher, and Rabbi Yehuda said the androgynous is pasul, and an ish is pasul in the kaddish. So Tana Kama holds a woman could do it, and Rabbi Yehuda holds a woman can't do it. So the Gemara says, let's get back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'azu tamayu," meaning the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya kol kasherim lekaddish. So Tana Kama holds that the Kaddish means to mix the water with the ashes of the Paraduma, except for a Katan can't do it. So again, assuming it's the same Shitot, the Tana Kama holds that a woman could mix, but a Katan not. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan opposed to the Isha. Rabbi Yehuda holds Pumfaker. The Katan could mix, but the woman can't. Uva Androgynous. My Tamid Rabbanan. Now, by the androgynous, we said the Chachamim say that it is good. So why they hold it? He says, Dechtiv la'chula tamei me'afar sreifat ha'chatak. I didn't say right. He says, Vashi b'katan, uposo b'ishu of androgynous. Okay, that's the way I should read it. Now, the Gemara says, my Tamid Rabbanan. What's the reason for the Chachamim who hold that a katan can't do it, but a woman could? He says, they'll take the ashes and mix it with the apron of the paraduma. In other words, they're gonna gather the ashes and then mix it with the water. So he learns, the ones that are pasul in gathering the ashes are also pasul b'kiddush. So Rashi has the limud. It says ba'asaf ish tahor ish v'lo katan. So a katan can't gather the ashes. So according to the Tana Kama, the katan can't mix the water either. In other words, it can't gather the ashes, can't gather the water. But then there's a drasha ba'asaf ish tahor. The word tahor is superfluous, and that means a woman could. So the Tana Kama holds the woman is allowed to gather the ashes. She can also mix the water. A katan can't gather the ashes. He can't mix the water. That's Tana Kama. Back in the Gemara, last night along. Rabbi Yehuda, Amarlach, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds Pumpa Ker. So Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, if it's true what you're saying, that the that whoever can do the asifa can do the can mix the water. Amar lachim king name kra v'laka my v'lachu. Why does it mean v'lachu plural? The people had a tefsulim hatam shirim hacha. So he learns it changes tense. In other words, everything is singular. Basaf, you know, singular. Then it says v'lachu, you know, and they'll take it mixed together. So it's to teach you that more people can mix than could have collected the ashes. So he holds that the content can also do it. But yet, the same Rabbi Yehuda holds the woman is out the door. Ihachi ishanami. So what about the isha? So the Gemara says, benatan v'lonim benatna. It says benatan is lashon zachar, not benatna. Now the whole Torah is lashon zachar. But here, the way that the article said that the Ruch Baner explaining what Tosfos says, that it means once it varied, it went from the singular to the plural, blachu. So then we would expect them to say benatna if the woman could do it. Okay, so that's the way the Tana Rabbi Yehuda learns. Now, Rabbanan, the Chachamim say ikiti v'lakach benatan. In other words, the Chachamim reject this limud from the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says since there's blachu. To even people who are pasul to do the asifa could do the mixing. Chachamim would say if it would keep to the singular male, I would think shakil chad b'yayiv chad. So this is my chokhmah what this means. Either I would think the same person who did the ashes has to do the mixing with the water. That's one shot. Or one person does the ashes and one person then mixes. This is katab rachmana b'lachu. The Torah says v'lachu, mean I could have two people doing it. Yikatav rachmana v'lachu, but not new, and if everything was plural, havamina the shakli trei v'yavi trei. You have to have two people take the ashes and two people mix. Tell us rachmana v'lachu, but not time. If it was shakli trei v'yavi chad, even if two people take the ashes and one person mixes it with the water, it's good. Okay, let me just finish the Gemara, then we'll take questions, and then that'll be it. Then the top line, I can give a little hour. Now, the Gemara having brought up this issue with the paraduma, says v'gzad tohor ala tameh. So Rashi says the word tahor is superfluous because it already said that it's a chatat. It calls the para a chatat. So I know that I have to have tahor people dealing with it. So it says vizah tahor la tameh, tahor mechbal shu tameh. Means he's tahor, but he has an aspect of tumor within it. How so? Yimeno tvuyom shekasher bapara. It teaches me that a tvuyom is not to be involved with para tumor. You may remember, Dafyomi, this little refresh recollection for Dafyomi. Does anybody remember the beginning of Masechta where we spoke about Tevul Yom? And I don't mean brachot. Anybody remember where it came up prominently beginning of Masechta? What? 100%. Yeah, Daniel got it. So in the beginning of Masechta Yoma, it says that 7 days before Yom Kippur, there were Mafrish the Kohen Gadol. Remember, they were Matame the Kohen Gadol, so that on Yom Kippur, he would be a Tevul Yom. Remember, they had different chormas they did with the Paraduma, but they had different leniencies. Well, seemingly bunch of stukim. In other words, to in contradistinction, the stukim said Tevul Yom can't be involved with the para, so they would have him that be a Tevul Yom. And again, before Yom Kippur is something else. It's saying with processing the para duma, they would do it that way. Not before Yom Kippur. With Yom Kippur, I don't think they would. I have to go over the Gemara again. It said that he was talking Tevul Yom before Yom Kippur. It says with the para duma, they were talking him. I don't know about Yom Kippur, but with the Paraduma, they were telling him. And then also, when Fernand was probably going to say this, the first mission of Brachot is, you know, Me'imatai Korin Shvaba Arvin, Mishashakonim Lefsim Lechol Kumatam. The Kohenim can go into Truma, means the Kohenim were Tame, they went to the Mikvah, they're Tvul Yom, they can only wait to Truma when it's Harev Shemesh, they have to say Sekochavim, and that's the time for Krishma. Okay, I have 1 minute for questions, then we got to go. Any questions? Any questions?
Are you going to?
Sushtel is like the connection. Okay, what else? Anything else?
I just wanted to know. I'm looking at Ahmed Aleph. It's very short tomorrow.
Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, now let's take a look. Okay,
let me talk.
One second.